Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked. Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And we have a surprise guest with us this afternoon. It's actually Katie.
It's me. I'm your guest.
And she has brought yet another book for us that is nonfiction, continuing our, 5-6 week streak?
Yep. You know, you thought we were all about fiction. We lied. It was a long con. We actually only read nonfiction.
But yours is actually humorous, too.
It is. It's a humor book. That's where we've put it in there. It's called How to Invent Everything, A Survival Guide for the Stranded Time Traveler by Ryan North. And it's a history of world civilization based on the idea that you are a time traveler renting a time machine. And this is the repair guide, except the first page tells you there's no way to repair your time machine. You're stuck. Your only hope is to rebuild civilization.
And I already love the book because it has dinosaurs on the back cover.
Yes. And there's actually all the way at the beginning, before you really get started learning about civilization, you get a very exciting, I'm trying to flip through it, it's a flow chart to figure out where in time you are.
So almost like a choose your own adventure, sort of?
Kind of, yeah. And the idea is that depending on where you are, you're probably not able to restart civilization. There's a sweet spot in history where there are other humans for you to form a civilization with.
Otherwise, you'll just go extinct.
Yep. The first question is, so you're stranded in the past. Has the Big Bang happened yet? And there's a yes and no. No is basically stay inside your time machine. There is nothing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
So it's all very much like that. And they have different chapters talking about different parts of civilization. My favorite chapter is also the longest chapter. And it is called Common Human Complaints That Can Be Solved by Technology. And the subtitles are, I'm thirsty, I'm hungry, I'm sick, the natural resources around me suck, I want better ones. And it continues on until the last one, which is, I want everyone to think I'm smart.
And this is how hipsters were born.
Yes. And it goes through everything from medicine, chemistry, even philosophy. Like, they have a short chapter on philosophy that teaches you about different philosophies of religion, and then just, I forgot what the other philosophies are. But they teach you, based on metaphors, about high fives.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's a really interesting book, and I don't remember why I picked it up. I think I've heard people talk about it before, but I had no idea what it was. And then I started reading it and realized, oh, this is literally just a history book, except instead of talking about a person or a specific civilization, it's talking about inventions that humans have come across, even just the domestication of the dog, like it's talked about because it's important. Well, domestication of the wolf.
Right.
Yes.
I knew what you meant. So what is Ryan North also known for?
I had never heard of him before, but it looks like he is... Oh, I've actually read another one of his books recently. I did not even realize. He wrote the Choose Your Own Adventure books, Romeo and or Juliet, and the other one that just came out is To Be or Not to Be. And it's a Choose Your Own Adventure Hamlet, where you can either play as Hamlet, Ophelia, or...
I'm hoping you say
Claudius.
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
No, you can be Claudius, though.
That's
and
cool.
I almost got far enough with Ophelia that I invented air conditioning, but I didn't. I didn't make it. It's a very weird book. There's dinosaurs at some point. It's very choose your own adventure.
Are dinosaurs a common theme in his?
I think so.
Because who doesn't like them?
He's the creator of dinosaur comics.
Okay.
And the writer of Adventure Time, Jughead, and Unbeatable Squirrel Girl. He also has a dog named Noam Chomsky.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so obviously humor is a big part of his work. I'm really excited. We actually have To Be or Not to Be in the collection. We just bought it. So if you're interested in Choose Your Own Adventure, Shakespeare, you should definitely look at that. It's so funny. He has all these asides because in theory, he found this book. I'm putting quotations around that. And it was written by an alternate universe Ryan North. So, same name, but this Ryan North works for the company that created the time machine called the FC-3000, and it's a much longer name in other parts, but the idea is that he is being forced to write this by his managerial staff, importantly, Chad. Chad's the worst. He actually asks you that if you do have to restart a civilization, make sure that it's known in your mythology that Chad is the worst. that should be something you build in, because Chad doesn't want his Chad doesn't want his book to be so friendly. He needs to be more technical.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's hilarious. It's got these weird asides, and it's very much written for
someone very meta.
Yeah, it's very meta, and it's written for someone who doesn't really like history, which is great for most people. I think a lot of people get overwhelmed with history because, you know, there's a lot of it.
And a lot of dates. A lot of dead people.
And a lot of his dates are very inexact, because when you're talking about, like, when glass was invented, there's no, like, date and time that glass was invented. And especially, I like the fact that he talks about where it was invented at different times, at different places in the world. If no one knew, China beat us to everything.
That sounds about right.
They've been using everything that it took us, like, 6,000 more years to invent.
Was there anything that you accidentally learned that you found particularly interesting?
I learned that scurvy was cured like 5 or 6 times. Like, they found out that eating vitamin C or eating fruit, they didn't know it was vitamin C, cures scurvy. Then they forgot. And they would have like 20 years go by, and then scurvy would get really huge again, and they would figure out how to fix it again. And then forget how to fix it.
It is amazing that the human race did not go extinct.
It really is. There are so many times in here, because he makes a lot of jokes about things that were very easy looking back, but it took us 2,000 or 3,000 years to figure out how to do it. Especially things like making glass or anything like that, that were accidental. Like you put something in a kiln, and then you realize there's this weird stuff where the sand that was on it, like, coagulated and turned into this cool thing. And you're like, oh, let's try that again, but on purpose, which is most of humanity's history. Let's try that again, but on purpose.
That's amazing. Who would you recommend this book for?
I would recommend it for people who like XKCD, like kind of like nerdy, educational, funny jokes. So if you like the book What If by Randall Munroe, or if you like reading a lot of quippy internet humor that is a little bit educational, this would be really good for you.
For those Reddit followers?
Yes, for people who like Reddit. Also, just people who want to learn more about the things that have built our civilization, because there are a lot of very small things that you don't realize were integral to some very important things that we discovered later, and even just people who like history in general.
Okay. Well, I think we are about ready to go on to our game show portion, unless there was something else you wanted to share.
Nope, I think that's it.
We are making a point to pause right here to insert some
time travel music. What's some, like, sci-fi sound effects?
Okay. All right. Challenge accepted. And I think we're going to skip right over casting main characters, because really, I think the main character is the reader.
Yep. You are the person rebuilding civilization, so you can choose whatever you want to choose. If you don't like sandwiches, they never have to exist.
So since you have read, or at least glossed over, one other of his works, how different is his style in this one from his others? Or is he kind of got a similar style for all of them?
The style is very similar, despite the fact that the two books are super different. Like, one is a 100% humor, just joke about you playing a Shakespeare character, but both of them are very, I don't want to say like reactionary, but they're quick, and they don't stay on one topic for very long.
So it's ADD history, kind of.
Yeah, it's basically ADD history. There's nothing that lasts longer than, like, 3 pages. I think the longest thing was Bread, because that also had beer in it.
And because Bread's amazing.
Yeah, bread and beer are, like, foundations of most civilizations. Water that won't kill us.
So why do you think he underlines inventions in the title? I know he talks about the different critical inventions, too, different civilizational periods.
Because the idea is to focus on the actual things that people created, as opposed to the people who created them. Since it's you're trying to, like, fake, like, restart humanity at any point in time, the important part is how to make glass, not who made it or not, like, when it was made. None of that's important. The important part is making it happen, inventing it yourself. And a lot of this is very jokingly, like, megalomaniac. You can be their god. You'll know how to start fire and how to make penicillin. Like, and he also gives you a bunch of quotes, and he says, but in your new timeline, you should probably say you said them.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so there are quotes by, like, Antoine Saint-Ex- Exupéry. There are quotes by Shakespeare, like everyone. They're all over there. And he's just like, say you said them all. It would be great. You're the one who invented them in this timeline.
That's hilarious.
Did it take you very long to get into the book, or did you kind of get hooked immediately?
It was a little hard because of that flowchart in the beginning. You didn't get like sucked right in. You were definitely trying to set up the book before you got into it.
And even
you
have the table of contents looks crazy. Sorry to talk over you.
No, it's okay. The table of contents is pretty crazy because the idea is that it's supposed to be a technical manual, I think. They made sure that you know what it's about. The table of contents is just a list of like how to use this guide, and it's 3 pages long.
And it almost looks like a circuit board.
Yeah, and that's probably part of it. But even that flowchart that I was telling you about is 4 pages long. So you have to like remember where you were at on the other side of the flowchart, and it includes everything from like the different like constellations you see in the sky to like what the humans look like that you see, like
oh my gosh
yeah. And something that was really interesting, to get slightly off topic, was reading those first few pages of the book, you realize like what a short period of time humans have been important.
Yeah,
like I always knew that, but when you see it in flowchart form where it doesn't even matter. The first half of the flowchart doesn't matter. You're not anywhere where you can make a civilization. There are no humans in the first part of the flowchart. You're just like trying to figure out how bad of a way you're in.
So basically, if you end up when there were dinosaurs, you're going to get eaten, right?
Yeah, he's okay. Just like, you can't build civilization. It's only you. They're definitely going to kill you. It's literally only when you have other groups of humans that are like kind of working together. He teaches you how to build a language. That's like the first chapter. But he says it probably shouldn't be English because that's what the book is in. So if they find it, they'll definitely kill you.
That's hilarious. Did he take into account location, or is it just time?
There's a little bit about location. In the beginning, at the end of the flowchart, it asks you which continent you're on, but it also realizes you may not know what continent you're on. If you're too far back, it could be very different. But he does, for minerals and things like that, that you would need for inventions, he does state that some of them are only available in certain places. Also, this made me very sad. When he's talking about animals, domesticatable animals, anytime it's in North America, it's like, except for 10,000 years in the past, because that's when humans first came to North America and they killed everything. Because, like, wild horses, cow-like animals, there was even a giant platypus bear thing, like, it was a huge platypus. He was just like, basically, if you're in North America, just travel south because you have to find large animals. You basically only have rabbits. Like, humans came and decimated everything larger than, like, a small dog.
Oh, that is super depressing.
Yeah. Made me feel very bad about humanity. Of all of the inventions you think are covered in here, which one do you think is the most important invention to you? It doesn't have to be in general. You don't have to make it philosophical. But something to you that you're like, yep, this needed to happen. Because he goes over everything. From like
air conditioning,
very important. I'm gonna go ahead and say glasses.
Oh yeah
I wouldn't be very useful, especially at like building a whole civilization, if people knew I couldn't see more than like 5 feet in front of me. They wouldn't.
Well, I mean, if you looked at
probably.
It from like a survival of the fittest standpoint, you and I would both be toast, and we know that
we would be. That's why the inventions in this book are so useful for us.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being willing to, I guess, turn the tables.
Yep. I'm literally on the other side of the table right now, so it works.
And here's hoping that I can find a book that's at least half as intriguing as this one to discuss in our next podcast.
I hope so.